time for our retirement series brought to you by Fidelity Investments. And with the jobs report out today, we want to take a look at retirement planning for gig workers, for freelance workers, and those coming and going from the labor force. So for that, we want to bring in Caroline Bruckner. She's a tax professor at Cogard School of Business and Tax Policy Center Managing Director. Caroline, it's good to see you. We see more and more people entering the gig economy. We know more people have turned and have chosen to become freelancers during the pandemic. I guess, how are you advising people who are in this position who decide to go this route to save for retirement?
So that's a really great question. And the number one thing that folks need to realize when it comes to saving for retirement is that it's not a one-size-fits-all strategy. There are multiple things that people need to do. You get your retirement savings from your Social Security contributions, from any retirement plans, and your actual savings. So you really have to nurture each of those three pots to have a robust retirement savings when it comes to retire. Now, when it comes to freelancers and gig workers, particularly if this is the first year that they've done that kind of work, the number one thing I tell them to do is to be sure and properly report your income and pay your self-employment tax. Self-employment tax is the 15.3% Social Security and Medicare taxes that self-employed folks pay towards Social Security, and you get credited for that with the Social Security Administration. And that's one way that you can make sure that you are working towards a more solvent retirement.
You've just given us the one leg, as they like to say, of the three-legged stool for retirement, right? So if you are self-employed, you've got, let's say you've got that covered. The next question becomes the potential other investments you can make via IRAs and other vehicles that are opened to the self-employed. But first and foremost, the self-employed, do we have, is there a metric we know for the average salary that these people are making? Is it greater than those who are working for an employer who might provide those kind of retirement benefits or a vehicle to do that? Because that's what's going to be crossing the minds of a lot of self-employed. Can I afford to set the money aside after I've done the Social Security part?
Well, that's a great point that you raised. Small Business Majority did actually a survey of freelancers and gig workers in 2017. And 40% of the folks that they surveyed indicated that they did not have any kind of retirement savings plan. And the number one issue that they cited to is for the reason for not being able to do so was cash flow. And when I look at self-employed and gig workers in particular, folks that really do gig work on the side as a supplemental source of income, the income numbers that Treasury has from a couple of their studies show that on average, self-employed workers or gig workers in particular just don't make that much money. And it's really less than $10,000 a year, especially when you do it as a supplemental source of income. And that's the overwhelming majority of people that have a side hustle. Now, that's different than the folks who are dedicated self-employed small business owners, sole proprietors who do it full time and it's their primary source of income. But the overwhelming majority of the, you know, 50 million people that have some sort of side hustle make not that much money and do it as a supplemental rather than primary source of income.
Caroline, one thing that you pointed out here in your notes is the fact that gig workers struggle with tax compliance. I guess, why is this the case? Is it just because the tax code can be so complicated or they're just not taking the time to understand exactly what needs to be done? I guess, what do you think is potentially behind this?
So the rules are entirely different if you are self-employed, and it is up to you to keep track of your income, keep track of your expenses, and to know that you have to pay self-employment tax if you're going to have more than $400 of net self-employment income. And if you're going to owe more than $1,000 in taxes in any given year, you have to proactively make quarterly estimated payments. People are not familiar with these rules because the overwhelming majority of U.S. taxpayers are wage earners. And when you are a wage earner, that means you're an employee. And your employer withholds your income and Social Security and Medicare taxes from each of your paychecks. Remember, it's a pay-as-you-go system. But people that are just starting out as gig workers or self-employed are really unfamiliar with these rules. And my research that I did in 2015 and have continued to do since then has shown that it's not that people are always willfully trying to evade paying taxes. It's just that they don't know and they're unfamiliar with these tax rules.
Treasury Department, as I recall, is trying to set up a program for freelancers and self-workers, a retirement program to which they could contribute. Is that in existence or did that just kind of fall the way of infrastructure week in so many administrations?
I think that there's a lot that Treasury and IRS is trying to do. The number one thing that they're trying to do is they set up the sharing economy tax center on irs.gov to direct taxpayers on how to properly, you know, comply with their tax filing obligations and to make sure that folks are making those Social Security contributions. There is a whole bunch of initiatives that Treasury and IRS are really trying to do to really communicate to folks about what you can do to be proactive with your retirement savings. How that plays out, particularly after the infrastructure and Build Back Better bills, we'll have to just wait and see.
Caroline Bruckner, great to speak with you, tax professor at Cogard School of Business and Tax Policy Center Managing Director.